Okay, good morning, everybody. And thank you for joining us once again. If you'll notice, on top of the source sheet today, it says Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Make no mistake, it is not Rosh Chodesh today. We are not assuming that there are 2 days Rosh Chodesh. However, this week's Parsha is Parsha's Bo. And in this week's Parsha, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. This is the first time that the Jewish people are instructed to have their own calendar and to run their own system of how they're going to count the months and what they're going to be called. But the whole discussion whether or not we have a right to even talk about the months in the way, in the vernacular, in the way we generally refer to the months. Are we perhaps violating a mitzvah in the Torah by calling it January, February, March? Really, maybe we should be calling them by the months that they are called in the Torah. Now, what are they called in the Torah? Not Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. These are names that were made up much later on. So really, maybe we should be saying Bachodesh HaRishon, Bachodesh HaSheni, Bachodesh HaShlishi. This is an interesting discussion, which is not today's discussion. What we're going to talk about today is the halachos of Rosh Chodesh, and particularly what we're going to focus on is the recitation of Halal on Rosh Chodesh. I gave the shiur last night for the women as well, who for some reason we didn't get through as much as I planned to cover last night, so they asked that we're going to continue next week. If it's okay with everybody here, so I don't have to prepare 2 different shiurim for next week. So we're going to continue next week if we don't finish everything today as well. Let's begin. In order to have an appreciation for the issue of Halal on Rosh Chodesh, let's first back up a little bit and understand what exactly is the mitzvah of Halal on a regular Yom Tov, on a regular Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. And then once we understand that, we'll move over and try and understand what's the story with Halal on Rosh Chodesh. So there was a period of time in the Rishonim in which they found it very necessary to write their own Sefer HaMitzvahs. If you ever heard, the Rambam has a Sefer called the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and there were many others. The Rambam was not the only one. The Yireim, the Bahag, there were many who made their own count of what they felt was the 613 mitzvahs. Now, this is a very questionable assumption. The Ramban has many comments where he disagrees with the Rambam's opinion, and he says, well, why do you count this one, and why do you count that one? You should have counted something else. And he plays with the list that the Rambam created, that the Rambam put together. And the Ramban first asks, who said that your assumption is correct? Who said that there are 613 mitzvahs? Which is a funny question. We all learned in kindergarten that there are 613 mitzvahs, but the Ramban says it's not such a simple assumption. Nobody really assumed that that really is for sure the number, the ultimate number of all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So that's a very interesting question in the first place. Who said that there are 613 mitzvahs? However, the assumption of all the Monei HaMitzvahs, of all those who actually count the mitzvahs, is that there are 613, and they try to figure out which ones are considered part of that list and which are not. Now, when it comes to the mitzvah of Halal on Yom Tov, this is a major point of disagreement. Should we count that as one of the 613 mitzvahs, or do we say, no, that is not part of the mitzvahs, it came along later on. We're talking about now Yom Tov Halal, not Rosh Chodesh, we're talking about Yom Tov. So let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs commenting on the Rambam. The Rambam is of the opinion that we do not count Halal on Yom Tov as a mitzvah on its own. It's not considered a biblical obligation. And therefore, the Ramban says, I don't know what you're talking about. I think you made a mistake, an egregious error. You left it out. It should have been in the count. This should have been one of the 613 mitzvahs. Says the Ramban, let's read through it carefully. Hanira, it seems to me, shehu min haTorah. It seems to me that the mitzvah of reciting Halal on a festival on Yom Tov is a biblical obligation. Now, ask the Ramban. You look through all of Chumash, nowhere will you find, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer, on Yom Tov, you have to say, Halal. Doesn't say that anywhere. So says the Ramban, how am I going to explain where I got this from? Yeah, we all do it, but how do I find it in a pasuk? Where does it come from? The Ramban says, well, the easy answer is, Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Well, that's always an easy answer. We don't really have to find the pasuk. It's something that we have a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is the halacha, this is the mitzvah. So says the Ramban, that's the easiest answer. Just say, yes, we believe it's a mitzvah midaraisa, it's a biblical obligation. But it's Halacha L'Moshe Misina, and even though we don't have an explicit pasuk that spells it out, this is the assumption anyway. Number two, says the Ramban, if you don't want to say that, maybe you can suggest as follows. O shehu bichlal hasimcha shenitzdavinu ba. Or perhaps, says the Ramban, since we have an obligation to be misameach on Yom Tov, to have some sort of pleasure, some sort of enjoyment. Now, what exactly does that mean? Let's say I enjoy standing on my head all of Yom Tov. Is that a fulfillment of Simchas Yom Tov? Obviously not. So the Gemara says there are ways in which a person has to perform. Just important to note, the Gemara does say Imsachim. How is a man supposed to enjoy Yom Tov? So it says, well, men like to eat, so you have Basar V'Yayin. How is a woman supposed to enjoy Yom Tov? Well, women like to have new clothing. So it says the husband has to buy the wife new clothing. That's what it says. That's the way that they are going to fulfill. It's a real Gemara. I didn't make it up. That's the real way that a woman can fulfill Simchas Yom Tov, is if the husband goes and purchases a new article of clothing that will get the wife excited. How are the children going to fulfill their obligation of Simchas Yom Tov? Says the Gemara. You give them toys, you give them klayos ve'agozim, you give them candies and sweets, and that's something that's going to enhance their Simchas Yom Tov. What you see is that Simchas Yom Tov is pretty much a subjective nature, that we figure out what would make each person happy, and that's what that person has to do in order to fulfill the obligation. But says the Ramban, on the baseline we have a pasuk that says, Kemosha Kasuv, Uviyom Simchaschem, on the day of your rejoicing, Uva Moadechem, which means Moed, every one of the Yamim Tovim, Uve Rashi Chadshechem, keep that in mind, the Ramban throws that in, I mean that's the pasuk, Usikate Mechatzotzer. So we have an obligation that on every Yom Tov in which we are celebrating in the Beis HaMikdash, we have to blow the Chatzotzers, says the Ramban. Ikur Shira Bepeh. The truth is, we're supposed to be excited on Yom Tov, we're supposed to be happy. Now, what really makes us happy is when we sing with our own mouths. Just the Torah tells us, Uskate Mechatzotzer, you should have a symphony orchestra playing in the background, which will enhance the singing that you're going to do with your own mouth. But the Ramban says, the real point is to say the Shira with your own mouth. That's what's going to enhance the Simchas Yom Tov. So the Ramban says, maybe that's where we learn it from. Since we have an obligation to celebrate on Yom Tov, and part of that obligation is to blow the chatzotzos, chatzotzos are not in a vacuum. Chatzotzos are supposed to be done together with the song that we sing with our own mouths. That's what the Ramban says. Ki ikar hashir bepeh, ukli levisume kalahu. This that we blow an instrument, that's just to make the song that we sing with our mouths a little bit sweeter. V'nitztavina b'simchas hashir ala karban. Now says the Ramban, every day that we offer karbanos on the Beis HaMikdash, and certainly on a Yom Tov when we offer more karbanos, which is the reason why we daven musaf, right? Musaf is really, you'll notice in musaf, we really don't ask for anything. In musaf, we just recite all the karbanos that we generally say, which brings me back to a point that we mentioned last week. A lot of people were following up about this. What's the obligation of women with saying karbanos in the morning? Right? I think we said that last week or 2 weeks ago. So it was a very big surprise to a lot of people. It was a surprise to me as well. So I asked my father about it last night, actually. He told me it's the Mishnah Berurah. I haven't had a chance to look this morning yet. So he told me that the Mishnah Berurah has two opinions about whether or not women are obligated to say the Mishnayos of the Karbanos. But the Psukim that we recite of the Karbanos that I pointed out last week, Vayedaber, so that the seemingly women should say that, because really that's our way in Neshama Parm Svasenu. That's our way of somehow bringing Karbanos even at a time when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So that's, anyone who wants more details on that, just remind me after the Shir. So here says the Ramban, every time that we offer karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, we have an obligation to sing Shira along with the offering of the karbanos. So then the Ramban goes on and on and on, and basically he says, we have an obligation to be happy. We certainly have an obligation to be happy at certain times in the year. We're supposed to have an elevated state of happiness, like on Yom Tov, and therefore he says, we have an obligation to sing Shira, which is really essentially the halal. That's what the Ramban argues, and that's why he believes that this is in fact a mitzvah midaraisa. It's a biblical obligation. Now, the Rambam, who the Ramban is actually arguing with, the Rambam feels the whole thing is made up. It's not true. The whole thing is only rabbinic in its very nature. It's not a mitzvah midaraisa. It's only a mitzvah midarabanan. And therefore, the Rambam feels that the Ramban is completely wrong, and there's no reason to include it in the count of 613 mitzvahs. Now, whether you assume that halal on a regular Yom Tov is biblical or rabbinic, either way you're going to assume, certainly on Rosh Chodesh we assume that it's on a much lower level than on a regular Yom Tov. Certainly on Rosh Chodesh. Now, why is that the case? So, and first of all, where do they get this idea? So some Gaonim say, if you look through Halalu Kel Bekadsho, Halalu Berkia Uzo, the Halalu that we say every day in Psukei Dezimra, so you'll notice that we have 12 times. You'll look at it later, but you'll notice that there are 12 times, Halalu this, Halalu that. So some Gaonim wanted to say that that's the way why we came up with this idea that you're going to praise God 12 times a year, which is on the Rosh Chodesh. Now, that sounds very arbitrary to me. I could have seen maybe the first 12 days in the month you have to say Halal. Who came up with this idea? So obviously that's not really the source of it. That's not really where it came from. They just found a nice remez that that's perhaps what it's based on, but that's not really what it's about. So let's begin. What exactly are the criterion to understand which days biblically one would be obligated to recite Halal? How do we know what the criterion are? What are the defining characteristics of figuring out? Is today a day that I have to say Halal or not? So the Gemara says in Erechin, there are two criterion that you have to meet. Number one, says the Gemara, it has to be a day that's Ikri Moed, has to be a day that's called a Yom Tov. Moed means Yom Tov. Number two, says the Gemara, it also needs to be a day which is Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha. So for example, what about Shabbos? Well, Shabbos has one of the two criterions. Shabbos is Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha. You're not allowed to perform any Melacha on Shabbos. However, it's not Ikri Moed. Shabbos is not a Yom Tov. Shabbos is Shabbos. So therefore, Shabbos is precluded from the recitation of Halal. What about Chol HaMoed, let's say? So what do you say? Chol HaMoed has the other criterion. It has the fact that it's called Moed. It's part of Yom Tov, but it's not Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha. So therefore, we assume that Chol HaMoed is not really an obligation to recite Halal the same way. As you notice, we don't recite Halal Shalem on Chol HaMoed. We only recite partial Halal. Yeah. Certainly.
So then,
right, so it's obviously a quasi-Yom Tov. Chol HaMoed is a quasi-Yom Tov, but it's not the same level of Isra Asiyas Malacha as we would have on a regular day of Yom Tov. And because of the fact that we assume that really Rosh Chodesh does not fit into the criterion, again, because it's not Ikri Moed and Asar Asiyas Malacha, and again, on Rosh Chodesh, the practice is that women don't do as much Malacha as they would do normally. It's a big question what exactly the extent of that minhag is. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But basically, obviously Rosh Chodesh is not the same level of Isra Asiyas Malach as we would have on Yom Tov. That we know. So for sure Rosh Chodesh does not fit into the list. And because Rosh Chodesh does not fit into the list, and because we want to highlight the fact that Rosh Chodesh is different in the nature of Halal that we're going to recite, this is why we only say Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh. There's a famous story that, somebody comes into shul, walks up to the rabbi and says, you know, I know that on Rosh Chodesh you're supposed to say Chatzi Halal, I'm just not sure, do I say the first half or the second half? Obviously, Chatzi Halal doesn't mean you just arbitrarily pick. It means not exactly half Halal. It means we take out certain paragraphs. It reminds me of the story my father says every year Pesach night in all the old, I think nowadays in the new Haggadahs, it's written out, spelled out, everything's very clear for our generation, at least for my generation. That's, you know, we have to have everything spoon-fed to us. But back in, I guess, many of your generation, so my father said that, not so long ago, don't worry. So my father said the Haggadahs used to say, by Karpas, so we know that you make a Bor Pri HaAdamah, however, you wash your hands. So it says, Ve'ein Omrim Al Netilas Yadayim, right? You wash your hands, but you don't say Al Netilas Yadayim. So my father says every year at the Seder that the person went to wash his hands. He says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and he stops. You don't say Al Netilas Yadayim. So obviously it's not what it means. It also doesn't mean over here Chatzi Halal that you just chop Halal in half. So you have to know exactly what you're doing when we talk about this. What's the reason why we say Chatzi Halal? So again, because we want to highlight the fact that this is very different in the nature of Halal than the Halal that we recite on a regular Yom Tov throughout the year. We have a Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Ches Amid Aleph, which is number Beis. Well, you'll see the Gemara then says, yeah, well, biblically the obligation to say Halal is only when you follow those two criteria. Number one, Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha. Number two, that it's Ikri Moed, that it's a Yom Tov. Midr Rabbanan, we tacked on a whole bunch of other days. So let's see what Midr Rabbanan was added on. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehotzadav. Shmona Aser Yom B'Shana. There are 18 days in the year. Yachid Gam Abraham Asala. There are 18 days in the year when a individual is supposed to recite Halal. Ve'elu Hein. What are those 18 days? And let's see if we see anything missing. Hope we do. Shmona Simei Chanukah. The 8 days of Chanukah. Yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach. Now obviously this is referring to Eretz Yisrael, where they only have 1 day of Yom Tov. By us, obviously, it's going to be 2 days. Yom Tov Shel Atzeres. Atzeres is Shavuos. Only 1 day in Eretz Yisrael. Shmona Simei Achag is the 8 days of Sukkis. Uvagola, obviously, in Chutz Laaretz, we're going to add on Chaf Aleph. We're going to have a couple of extra days because we hold 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laaretz. What's missing? Okay, Chol HaMoed Pesach is one, but what else? Rosh Chodesh. Where's Rosh Chodesh? How come it's not on the list? And in fact, the Gemara says there in Tainus, Rav Ikla LeBavel. Rav lived in Eretz Yisrael, and one time he was invited to come be a scholar in residence in Bavel, and he gets there. It happened to be Rosh Chodesh, and he shows up, and they say, would you like to be the chazan? He says, sure. And he davened Shmona Esrei, and after Shmona Esrei, everyone's staring at him. He says, what are you looking at me? So they said, well, we got to carry on. It's Rosh Chodesh today. We have to say Halal. He says, you have to say Halal? Where does that come from? Why are you saying Halal today? So what you see is even in the times of the Gemara, they didn't have the assumption that all communities were reciting Halal on Rosh Chodesh. And Rav himself, who is a pretty knowledgeable fellow, Rav himself, when he comes to a community, he has no idea what's happening. He never heard of this idea. So this is obviously a very novel idea to recite Halal on Rosh Chodesh, something which obviously is not Midaraisa. That certainly it's not, because it doesn't follow the two criterion of Moed and Aser Basiyas Malacha. And it's not even Midrabanan. It's not even Midrabanan. It's perhaps a practice that developed later on, as we'll see, but it's not even Midrabanan. Now, nowadays, obviously, we have the practice that we all recite Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Does it make sense to recite a bracha on the Halal? How can you say a bracha? What do we say in the bracha? Every time we perform a mitzvah, what do we say? Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosa vitzivanu. You gave us a special sanctity. You did something to us. You gave us mitzvahs, and that keeps us holy. Vitzivanu, and you obligated us to do this. Really? Where did God obligate us to recite Halal on Rosh Chodesh? Rav doesn't even know that it exists. Rosh Chodesh seems not to be in the list anywhere. Really? Vitzivanu? God told us we have to do this? Where did he tell us? Anyone have a problem with what I'm saying? Should be a very obvious problem. Why am I only asking about Halal on Rosh Chodesh? What? Yeah. Most of the brachas that we say, there is no direct commandment to perform the mitzvah. For example, how do you get up and say on Chanukah, Asher Kedishanu Mimitzvosa Vitzivanu Lahadik Ner Shel Chanukah? Really? Chanukah wasn't around in the times of the Torah. So what does it mean? God commanded us to light the Chanukah candles? It's not true. He didn't. It was a much later enactment. So what does it mean? Asher Kedishanu Mitzvosa Vitzivanu. Why am I only bothered with Halo? What about everything else? So this is such... What? So this is such a good question that the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos Daf Chav Gimel asked this question. Hey Chan Tzivanu, how can you recite a bracha on lighting the Chanukah candles? God didn't obligate us to light the Chanukah candles. He never said anything about it. Or for that matter, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav asked the very same question. We shake lulav every day of Sukkot. Biblically, our obligation is only to shake lulav on the first day of Sukkot. So lekachtem lachem b'yom harishon. In the Beis Hamikdash, they used to shake lulav every single day of Sukkot. So now, we don't live with a Beis HaMikdash. Why are we shaking lulav every day? The reason is because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realized if we don't train ourselves to know what to do when we have a Beis HaMikdash, then we're going to forget how we're supposed to act when it's here. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who lived through the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, said, you know what? From now on, we're going to institute that everyone, even if they're outside of the Beis HaMikdash, has to pick up a lulav and esrog every single day of Sukkot, in order that we shouldn't forget how we did it in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and Meheira Yibana Beis HaMikdash, when it will be rebuilt, we will know exactly how to perform the mitzvah properly. Well, ask the Gemara. How can you say, Asher Kedishanam B'mitzvosa V'tzivanu, Al Netilas Lulav, the rest of the days of Sukkot? God didn't command us. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made this up. Makes a lot of sense, but why should we say V'tzivanu? We didn't have this commandment from God himself. Okay, so that's the Gemara's question. Answers the Gemara. We have a pasuk that says, Lo sasar min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu smol, which means, you have to listen to that which the Chachamim tell you to do, and you have to follow, it's a question if it means blindly, what if it doesn't make sense? What if it really doesn't make any sense? Meaning, you know, you can't just say, well, I don't like what they're saying. But let's say you're a very learned person, and you say, well, it really can't be what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense. So that's a big question. Even if they say something which is an error, the simple understanding, the way my father always says it is, we don't believe in the infallibility of rabbis. There's no such thing. Maybe other religions believe in that. We don't believe in that. If somebody does something wrong, we call them out for it. And if somebody makes a psak an error, they have to turn around and say that they made a mistake, and they have to own up to that mistake. So over here, the Gemara tells us, if you have chachamim in a generation who are very well recognized, and they come along and make some sort of rabbinic enactment, we have an obligation, a biblical obligation, to listen to them, because the Torah says, Lo sasar min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yaminu smol. And therefore, every time that we perform a rabbinic enactment, for example, every time we perform the mitzvah of lighting Chanukah candles, we are in essence performing a biblical mitzvah of Lo sasar. Okay? Even though it was only instituted rabbinically, but since the Torah tells us to listen to the rabbis, so therefore, every time you listen to the rabbis, you're really fulfilling a mitzvah midaraisa. That's what we assume. Now, what is included in that mitzvah of Lo sasar? What should be included? Every time a rabbi gets up and gives a drasha on Shabbos and you don't listen to him, so you're violating a biblical commandment? Is that really what it means? No. No. You should, but I mean, if it makes sense, you should. But where do we draw the line? What do we assume is subsumed under this mitzvah of Lo sasar? Says the Rambam as follows. Rambam writes, let's say you have the Beis Din HaGadol in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. They have a tradition way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Halacha Moshe Mi Sinai. So that obviously is included in Lo sasar. Or Torah Shebaal Peh, says the Rambam. Anything that they taught, anything the Gemara teaches us, if you go ahead and you say, I'm not listening to the Gemara, I'm not listening to the Torah Shebaal Peh, so you are in violation of the mitzvah of Lo Sasser. Now this is a very important Rambam. A rabbi does not have a right to get up and just make up new halachas. That's not correct. And I think it makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Let's say, I don't know the first thing about math at all. I do know that 1 plus 1 equals 2. If I get up one day and I say 1 plus 1 equals 6, everyone's just going to laugh at me because you're not following the rules of math. I mean, it's not such a rule. Every discipline has certain axioms that they believe in. And if you're not going to follow those rules, if you're not going to follow how that discipline works, you're just going to sound like a fool. Well, that's the same with the Torah. You know, Rabbi Foreman gives a lot of classes here, and people think it's a very fascinating way to learn, that you find a word over here and a word over there and a letter over here, and then you put it all together and you make something. That's not halacha. That's a very nice way of learning Torah. It has nice messages, but you cannot derive a halacha just by putting letters and words together. That's not the way it works. There's a very specific set of rules for our discipline. That was not a knock at Rabbi Foreman at all. I don't think he claims to be teaching halacha. He gives very nice messages, but again, that's not a way to derive a halacha from the Torah. You can't just take a word here, a letter there. That's not the way we do it. We have very particular rules of how we're supposed to derive halachas from the Torah. Those rules are Shlosh Esrei Midos Shehatorah Nedreshes Bahem. There are 13 principles of how we are allowed to learn up psukim. What can we learn from something? How do we learn from something? What are we supposed to derive? So that's what the Rambam is referring to. It doesn't mean that any Talmud Chacham has the right to read a pasuk and say, oh, I see the same word over here, same word over there, therefore he can make up a new halacha, and therefore we have to light candles every Tuesday afternoon. That's not something that's valid. You're not allowed to do that. You have to follow the rules, and if by following the rules you come up with a particular halacha that makes sense, then we are going to accept it. Ve'echad varm sha'asam siyag la'Torah, or for that matter, says the Rambam, if the Chachamim came along and made some sort of barrier because they're concerned that you're going to violate one of the laws of the Torah. For example, we have an Isser of Yichud. So what's the real violation biblically of the Isser of Yichud? Only if you have one man and a married woman. That's the biblical violation of the Isser of Yichud. The Chachamim came along and said, well, if you're not going to be careful with other areas of Yichud, if you have a man with a single woman, so then you're going to come to violate the real Isser. So sometimes, in every generation, sometimes the Chacham came along and said, well, if you're not going to follow X, you're going to end up violating Y. So there, says the Rambam, if you have something of that nature as well, then we're concerned that if you don't listen to that, you're going to violate this din of Lo Sasser Min HaDavar Asher Yagidu Lecha Yamin Ismol. Take, for example, we have an institution that you're not allowed to eat Bishulakum. We have an institution you're not allowed to eat Chalavakum, Sheikharakum, all these things, Gvinasakum. Where does it come from? It's not biblical. It's all rabbinic. That's because the Chachamim saw that people were not being careful with their relationships with non-Jews. And they were concerned that if you're going to become too close with the non-Jew, then you're going to end up having your children marry their children. Now, that would be a biblical violation. You're not allowed to have intermarriage. Is not allowed. So how are we going to prevent people from coming to that stage? Well, a very easy way to do it is you can never eat in the non-Jew's home. Doesn't matter what he gives you. You can never eat by him. Well, how close can he ever be to someone? If every time they come and drop something off by you, you have to say, I'm sorry, I can't accept it. And every time they want to cook you a meal, you say, no, it's not for me. And every time they invite you over to the house, you can't eat with them. Well, once you have that, it's a built-in system to make sure that you're not going to come to the next step. That's what we find. Sometimes the Chacham come along and make a siyag l'Torah. They make a barrier to make sure that we don't violate X in order that we shouldn't come to violate Y. Now, Vehem, says the Rambam, here's the important word, and that's why it's in quotations, Vehem hagzeros v'hatakanos v'aminhagos, says the Rambam. What is included in the mitzvah of Lo Sasser? It sounds to be all-inclusive, sounds to be everything that the Chachamim instituted as a rabbinic obligation is included, and says the Rambam, v'haminhagos. Underline that. It means, and that which is a minhag also is included in the mitzvah of Lo Sasser. Okay, you don't have to read the rest of the Rambam, but basically what you see clearly is that even when you have a practice that was started by the Chachamim, that also would be included in the mitzvah of Lo Sasser. How would that translate into our discussion of Halal Rosh Chodesh, for those who remember where we started? Again, Halal Rosh Chodesh is not even a din derabanan. It's certainly not deraisa, as we said. It's not even listed as a din derabanan. Rav goes to Babel, he doesn't know what hit him. They ask him to say Halal, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. So Halal Rosh Chodesh seems to be only a minhag. Right? Halal Rosh Chodesh seems to be only a minhag. So what would you say if you put all the pieces together? Again, piece number one is the Gemara tells us Anytime you have a mitzvah midrabanan, you are allowed to recite a bracha because lo sasser dictates that you are following a commandment of the Torah itself. Vitzivanu makes sense to say on a mitzvah midrabanan. The Rambam tells us what's included in that category of lo sasser. Not only a din derabanan, not only a siyag la Torah, but also, says the Rambam, a minhag. Well, that would follow, if you're following the train of thought, that would follow that we should recite a bracha on Halal and Rosh Chodesh. However, we have a Gemara that makes things very complicated. We have a Gemara which I did not put on here, where the Gemara discusses our practice of shaking the Aravos on Hoshana Rabbah. So what do? Hoshana Rabbah, we pick up a bunch of Aravos, we walk around the shul, whatever we do, we hit them, we wave them, we smack them, we do all sorts of things with the Aravos. And the Gemara is not sure, what's the story with this practice of the Aravos on Hoshana Rabbah? Is that a Minhag Nevi'im? Is that a Yesod Nevi'im? Like, what's the story with this thing? Now, the basis of that really is because in the Beis HaMikdash, on Sukkot, they used to take Aravos, very tall Aravos, and they used to put them up against the Mizbeach. But nowadays that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, so they made some sort of way for us to remember. Says the Gemara, if you assume that that's only a minhag, if you assume that it's only a practice, a nice thing that was started in the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you would not recite a bracha on that. The Gemara says that clearly. Because it's only a minhag, we would not recite a bracha on that. What do you mean? We just said that what? So again, so we have a Gemara here by the Aravos on Hoshana Rabbah, which says, because it's only a minhag, you don't recite a bracha. And as we know, we don't recite a bracha on taking the Aravos on Hoshana Rabbah. So you see clearly the Gemara tells us that when you have a minhag, you don't recite a bracha. Based on that, Rashi and other Rishonim say, well, the same would apply to Halal Rosh Chodesh. You don't recite a bracha Halal Rosh Chodesh. That's the same as picking up the Aravos on Hoshana Rabbah. And the same way we don't recite a bracha on Hoshana Rabbah for picking up the Aravos, so too we're not going to recite a bracha when we say Halal on Rosh Chodesh, because it's only a practice, it's only a minhag. Anyone bothered? I'm confused, right? We have a Gemara that says clearly you don't recite a bracha on a minhag. You have a Rambam that says clearly you do recite a bracha on a minhag. Not only that, it becomes even more problematic. Look at the next Rambam. Look at number Dalet. The Rambam tells us, Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Brachas Halacha Tazayin. He's laying out the rule. When do you recite a bracha? When do you not? Look at this Rambam. What do we do now? Kol Davar Shehu Minhag. If you have something which is only a practice, which is not a din derabanan, but it's only a practice that the Chachamim started, Afal Pisha Minhag Chachamim Hu, even though it has very pure sources and it dates back way back to earlier generations, Kegon Netilas Arava, for example, taking the Arava, Ein Sarach Lomar Minhag Chachamim. And certainly, says the Rambam, Kigon, Kriyas Halo Bereshe Chadashim of Chol HaMoed Pesach, which is also a minhag, Ein Mevarchem Alav. The same Rambam. Contradiction. Rambam says, we don't recite a bracha on Aravos because it's only a minhag. We don't recite a bracha on Halal Am Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minhag. What do you mean? Didn't you tell me that minhag is also part of the rubric, it's under the category of Lo Sasser? So how do you explain this? So I think the way to explain it is, some Rishonim say, let's say the Meiri writes, and very often you find the Meiri follows the opinion of the Rambam, so it makes sense that maybe this is what the Rambam means. We have something that started as a minhag, and that's something that was instituted by the Chachamim. Over here the Meiri says, very surprisingly, but the Meiri tells us, Shalo tiknu chacham mes kriyasa. When it comes to Halal on Rosh Chodesh, the Chachamim were not the ones who started the minhag. Ela ha'am nahagu kein me alehem, says the Meiri, which is very surprising. Ha'am nahagu kein me alehem. We came to Rosh Chodesh and we said, you know what? There is nothing that we highlight on Rosh Chodesh that shows us that today is different than every other day. So you know, we're going to start reciting Halal, albeit a chatzi Halal. We don't want it to be like every other day, but we're going to do something to highlight the fact that today is Rosh Chodesh. So we started, Ha'am Nagu Keme Aleim, and then it picked up, and it made a lot of sense, and people followed it. So we said, okay, it's a nice thing to do. But it was never instituted as a minhag. What does the Rambam tell us? When is a minhag included under that category of Lo Sasser? That's when the Chachamim come along and institute a particular practice. Then we assume it's subsumed under that category. However, if you have something which Ha'am Nagu Keme Aleim, something which we instituted on our own. For example, now this wouldn't really make sense if we all get together and say, you know what, it's a nice thing to start lighting candles on Tuesday afternoon. Meaning that has no significance at all. Over here by Halal and Rosh Chodesh, it makes sense. We recite Halal on days of joy. Over here, we're going to recite Hallel on a day of joy because it's Rosh Chodesh. Now, it's not exactly the day of joy like every other Yom Tov, so therefore we're going to only say a Chatzi Hallel, meaning the Minug has some roots, it makes some sense. But because it was never instituted by the Chachamim themselves, because it was a grassroots effort, because it came from the community, therefore we assume the Rambam says you don't recite a bracha on this minhag of reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So that's, yeah. So we're going to, maybe we'll talk about that next week. Yeah, so well, maybe we'll, someone asked last night if we can discuss it next week. Perhaps we'll, if we have time, we'll get into that. It's an important point. What are the guidelines about when a person is allowed to institute a new recitation of Hallel? For example, the Tosas Yantiv writes, there are many who write this, the Chayyadim has as well, about a family, let's say, who goes through a very traumatic experience, and now they have to make a Sudas Hoda. Now they have to make some sort of day of remembrance to point out, to highlight the fact that they were saved. So the Tosas Yantiv writes that there was, I forgot what the story was, but something, there was a big Sreifa Ba'ir, I think he says, a lot of houses burnt down, and his family was almost killed. They were almost destroyed, wiped out. So therefore he said that he instituted for all future generations that stem from his family that this in his day, whatever day it was, they have to observe it as a quasi Yom Tov and they have to recite Hallel. So do we have a right to just institute Hallel whenever we want? Do we have a right? And that's where the whole controversy and discussion came from regarding Yom HaTzmut. Maybe we'll discuss that next week. So anyway, the Rambam is of the opinion that you cannot say Vitzivanu on something which is a grassroots effort. God didn't command us to do it, and the Chacham didn't command us to do it. So therefore, you can't say Vitzivanu on something like that. Other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, other Rishonim disagree and say, what do you mean? Of course you recite a bracha on Hallel. You can't say that Hallel was made up by the community. What do you mean? If the community just gets together one day and decides we're going to do X, Y, and Z, all of a sudden that minhag is going to stick? That doesn't make sense. Obviously, Hallel was instituted by the greats of the generation. And he says, since it was a minhag, we recite a bracha on the Hallel, which is a minhag. What does the Rabbeinu Tam do with the Gemara? What does the Gemara say? That you don't recite a Hallel, you don't recite a bracha on Arava. You don't recite a bracha because it's only a minhag. It's not really a din derabbanan. How do you explain that? Says Rabbeinu Tam, no. That's just tiltul ba'alma. What are we doing already? Pick up some flowers, you wave them around, you walk around the bima, you hit them on the floor. It's not really such a significance to the mitzvah that you're doing. However, he says, Hallel, which is shvach v'hodel la'kadosh baruch hu, Hallel, which is an opportunity for us. It's much more substantive what we're doing in that mitzvah. Therefore, he says, even though it's only a minhag, we will recite a bracha. Rabbeinu Tam is splitting hairs. Well, minhagim, you do recite a bracha. It just happens to be, a rav is a little bit different. Why is it different? Because that's not really important. Really? You're going to start going through all the mitzvahs and figure out what's important and what's not, and what's really considered something significant and what's not? Very difficult kind of avenue to start walking down. So what we find here is a machlokas harishonim, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, whether or not we're going to recite bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. How do we paskin la halacha? Any Svartim in the room? I have to be embarrassed. Just curious. Any Svartim here? No. Wow. Interesting. So that we have a machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. It's a machlokas Ashkenazim and Svartim. What should be the proper practice on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? It's not very clear. Let's read the Shulchan Aruch together. Number hey. Yesh Omrim says the Shulchan Aruch, some say, for anyone who ever learned Shulchan Aruch before, you know, you think it's the code to Jewish life, and that's the way we're going to live life. If you'll notice, it's the most difficult and complicated, convoluted way of living life. It was much simpler when we only had a Rambam who said, do X, Y, and Z. Very easy. All of a sudden, the Shulchan Aruch came along, and he made a compilation of all the opinions, and he said, well, some say this, and some say that, and some say this, and some say the other thing. And then you have the later commentaries who argue about, well, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, do you follow the first one, or the second one, or the third one? And it becomes more and more complicated as the generations went on. Well, here we have one of those examples. Says the Shulchan Aruch, well, what's the halacha when it comes to Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? Yesh Omrim. Some say, Sha'at Tzibar Mevarchim ala Hallel b'Rosh Chodesh, Likurasa Hallel v'lebesochi ala Lucha. Some say, says the Shulchan Aruch, that you should recite a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Aval ha-yachid in a mevarch alav. If a person is davening by themselves, not in shul, which I would imagine is probably most of the people in the room, so then you don't make a bracha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Then he says, and there are others who are of the opinion, even when you daven in shul together with a minyan, also you don't recite a bracha. As we saw, this is the opinion of the Rambam. Says the Shulchan Aruch, this is the practice in Eretz Yisrael and in all the neighboring communities close to Eretz Yisrael as well. we do not recite a bracha on Ha'alam Rosh Chodesh. So again, Sfardim follow that psak. Sfardim do not recite a bracha on Ha'alam Rosh Chodesh. However, says the Rama, V'yesh omrim, Haga means what? Insert. No, Haga means the Rama. It's a code word, but Haga actually means I'm writing a note on what the Shulchan Aruch says. So the Rama screams, he jumps up and down and says, what do you mean? That's not true. You're leaving out the main opinion. Yesh omrim, some say, Shigam ha'yachin levarach alav. Why do you only quote two opinions? Says the Rama, the real opinion is that even if a person is davening by themselves at home without a minyan, you also recite a bracha, v'chei noagim b'medinas Ashkenaz. And this is our practice as Ashkenazim, to follow Rabbeinu Tam, to follow the Rama, that we recite a bracha on Ha'alam Rosh Chodesh, even though it is only a minhag. And it's not the same, somehow you have to figure out why it's not the same as picking up the Aravas on Hoshana Rabbah. There's going to be some major distinction between that. But basically, we assume that one would recite a bracha on Ha'alam Rosh Chodesh, even though it is a minhag. There is a discussion, what if a Sfardi makes mistakenly a bracha on Ha'alam Rosh Chodesh, should we say Amen to his bracha? If you have that problem, we'll worry about it. You know, it reminds me, there is a discussion in the poskim, what about when you have, you know, God forbid you have somebody who loses a relative. So in that period before the relative is buried, we call them an onen. So an onen is not allowed to perform any mitzvahs, they're not allowed to make any brachas, they're not just that they don't have to, they're not allowed to. So generally, let's say you have an onen, and for those, Rahmanul Islam, it should never be relevant. But if anyone's interested in this, I saw once a beautiful piece. I can't remember which book of Rabbi Frand it's in, but it's the first piece in the book. So you look through all his books, you look at the first one, it's there. Where he says about the experience that he had when he was an onen. And his mother, I think he said, lived in Seattle, Washington. So he had to take a flight from Baltimore to Seattle, Washington, which is probably a couple of hours, I would imagine. And he said that they kept on serving him on the plane. They first came along with snacks, and then they came along with drinks, and they came along with different things. And he had to keep catching himself. He made a bracha shahakal, and he stopped in the middle, and he realized, I'm not allowed to. And then he made a bari nefashos, and he realized he's not supposed to. And then he went to the bathroom, and he made an asher yatzar. And he writes how what he learned from the experience was how he doesn't appreciate the brachas that he makes, and he never thinks about it throughout the year. Because it became so natural to him that now that he's at a point in his life where he's not supposed to recite bracha, he's not even thinking about it. It's just a natural way. You pick up a piece of food and you make a bracha, which is a nice thing, but he said it gave him the perspective, it gave him an opportunity to rethink, to reconsider, am I really paying attention to all the brachas that I make throughout the year? It was a very beautiful insight that he had, that perhaps that's what Aninus gives us the opportunity to do. We should never be tested, but perhaps that's something to think about if a person is ever in that situation. So let's say you have somebody who's in Aninus, and they're not allowed to make a shahakal, but they make it anyway. So the poskim discuss, do I answer amen to that bracha? So that's similar to this discussion. Again, you have a Sfardi who's not supposed to be making a bracha on the halal, and they recite it by mistake and error. Should they be answering amen to our bracha? Anyway, that's with regard to that. So we have a machlokas, the mechaber and the ramas, Sfardim and Ashkenazim, whether or not you will recite a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh. The question is then raised, what if I am a Sfardi, and I happen to be davening in a shul on Rosh Chodesh, and they ask me to be the chazan? Well, what am I supposed to do? I happen to have the best voice in the shul, and I happen not to make a bracha on Ha'alam Rosh Chodesh, but now they ask me to be the chazan. What am I supposed to do? The shul makes a bracha. I happen not to make a bracha, so what do? Follow the minhag of the shul. Now, what if I'm davening privately? You don't follow the minhag of the shul. So if I'm davening as the chazan, I follow the minhag of the shul. What do you mean? Isn't it a bracha levatala? Very good. So you're the shliach tzibur. So when I'm asked to be the chazan, I'm representing the tzibur. Well, since I'm davening in a shul where everyone makes the bracha, I have to do that which represents them. For example, another example of this is, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva about somebody who doesn't have the practice to say, Baruch Hashem li'olam in Maariv. You know, we have a paragraph in the end of Maariv, before Shemona Esrei, which not everybody says. My family happens not to say it. Many communities do say it. What if I'm asked to be the chazan in a community where they do say it, and I happen not to? So Rav Moshe says again, you have to follow the minhag ha-makom. You have to say what they say. If you are asked to be the shliach tzibur, like you so correctly said, if I'm asked to represent the tzibur, I have to do what the tzibur wants me to do. I can't just come with my own minhagim and do what I think is the right thing to do. I have to do what's supposed to be done on behalf of the tzibur. So that's with regard to the bracha of Ha'alam Rosh Chodesh, yeah? Yeah, you have to do what they do. You daven on your own, yeah. The question is, if you really want to be complicated, question is, when I'm the Shliach Tzibur in a minion that davens in a different nusach, so I have to obviously say the Shemona Esrei in their thing, What about my quiet Shmona Esrei? That's the question. It's a big question. Well, some say, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen it in a while, but if I'm not mistaken, I think Rav Moshe has another tshuva about that, where he says, well, really, if you're the Shliach Tzibur, so your quiet Shmona Esrei is really a way to get you ready for the Shmona Esrei that you're going to say out loud. So he says, it would make sense, probably, to do the quiet Shmona Esrei the same that you're going to do when you say it out loud. There are others who disagree. Others say, no, it's two different things. What? Right, you get confused. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that, no, there's two different things. One is the private davening that you do, and one is the Tfilas HaTzibur. When you do Chazaras HaShatz, it's a very different form of Tfilah altogether. Anyway, interesting discussion. When you're the Shliach Tzibur, we'll talk about it. So the... Now let's get to the next issue. One of the important halachas regarding... Yeah, absolutely. One of the important halachas regarding Hallel, both on Yom Tov as well as on Rosh Chodesh, is the Mishnah Megillah Daf Chaf, where the Mishnah tells us that there are certain mitzvahs that one has to perform only during daylight hours. Says the Mishnah, a whole list here. Kal Hayom Kasher the Kriyas HaMegillah. Let's say, reading the Megillah on Purim. So a person is able to read the Megillah all day long. Let's say I'm at work and I don't have time to read the Megillah. I can't go to shul. So as we know, you can have someone come to the house 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. You can have the Megillah read there as well. Ulikriyas HaHallel. And the Gemara goes on, the Mishnah goes on, a whole list of telling me which mitzvahs have to be performed during the day and that I have the entirety of the day to perform those mitzvahs. Says the Mishnah at the very end, Zeh HaKlal. You go to the second to last line, Zeh HaKlal. If I have a mitzvah that has to be performed during a day, I can do that at any time, at any period throughout the daylight hours. If I have something which only can be performed at night, then I can do it the entire evening. Ask the Gemara, who told you that Hallel has to be recited during the day? Let's say I go to work, or I'm very busy getting my kids off to school, so I'm not going to have a chance to say Hallel early in the morning. So you know what, I'm going to wake up at 5:30 in the morning, which in the winter time is still dark outside. I'm going to wake up at 5:30 in the morning, I'm going to start saying Hallel then, get Hallel out of the way. How do you know that you're not able to do that? It's already Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh already started the night before. Who said you're not allowed to say Hallel at night? Says the Gemara. L'kriyas HaHallel d'chsiv, how do I know that Hallel has to be recited during the day? Number one, because it says, Mimizrach Shemesh ad mevo'o. What we say in Hallel is, from the time of Zrichas HaShemesh, the time when the sun comes up, Ad Mevo, until it sets, Muhul Al Shem Hashem. So says the Gemara, that teaches us that Hallel needs to be recited only during the day. Number two, says the Gemara of Yossi Omer, we say, Zehayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismachavo. Hayom means only during the day. Obviously, it's not what it's referring to. It's not referring to Rosh Chodesh, but still, we learn from there that it has to be done during the day. When do we say Hallel? Pesach night. Ask the Achronim, how are we allowed to recite Hallel on Pesach night? You're not allowed to recite Hallel at night. The Gemara tells us clearly, Hallel has to be said, Mehul al Shem Hashem, Mimizrach Shem Hashem Mevo, only during the day. How do you recite Hallel on Pesach night? And to make the problem much, much worse, there are many, many more issues with Pesach night Hallel, as we'll see. Pesach night Hallel, number one, let's back up for a minute. We have three different categories of brachas that we make throughout the year. One of them is called a Birchas Hanenin. For example, I want to eat something, I want to drink something. That's a bracha for the pleasure that I'm about to get. You recite a bracha before you do it. Birchas HaShvach is something. I am enthralled by the fact that there's a beautiful rainbow, or that there's thundering and lightning, or something that just amazes me. Osam Isa Bereshis. I go to Niagara Falls. It's an amazing sight. Grand Canyon, amazing sight. Osam Isa Bereshis. You're Birchas HaShvach. You're being Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're praising Him for the amazing world that He made. And the third thing is a Birchas HaMitzvah. So we have these three categories of brachas. When is the bracha supposed to be recited for each one? So it depends. Birchas Hanenin is something that I recite because I'm deriving pleasure. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Lamed Vav, Kol Hanenem min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha ki ilu ma'al. If you take a drink, you take something to eat without reciting a bracha before doing so, it's as if you are stealing from God Himself. What gives you the license to eat His food and to drink His water is your recitation of a bracha. That's what the Gemara tells us. So when it comes to a Birchas Hanenin, bracha has to be recited before you begin to have the pleasure. When it comes to a Birchas HaShvach, what do? You first are inspired. Look, I don't know that thunder and lightning is about to come. I don't know what the Grand Canyon looks like. Once I get there and I see it and I'm totally inspired by the sight, then I react and I recite the bracha. So that's very different than a Birchas Hanenin. Birchas HaShvach, you recite the bracha after. Birchas Hanenin, you recite the bracha before. What about a Birchas HaMitzvah? What about when you're performing a mitzvah? So the Gemara says in Pesachim and Daf Zayin Amud Beis, but when you have a mitzvah that you have to observe, so you perform the mitzvah only after you recite the bracha first. Says the Gemara, Kala mitzvahs kula mevarach aleihem over l'asiyasam. Whenever you're about to perform a mitzvah, you have to recite a bracha before the performance of the mitzvah. What's the one exception? Shabbos candle is not a good exception. We'll talk about that some other time. What's the other exception? Mikvah. The Gemara says the only exception is somebody who goes to the mikvah, a man or a woman, has to recite the bracha after you go under the mikvah. Why is that? Why is that? Where does that come from? Why not? You have to be totally immersed. Well, I ask you a question. We blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? You recite a bracha before you blow the shofar. You ever been to a shul, not here obviously, where they're blowing, can't get it out, right? It's not so easy all the time. So maybe, why should we recite a bracha? Maybe it's not going to work. Why don't you make the bracha after? So you're not wrong. The Gemara says maybe shofar should be an exception also because it doesn't always come out right. The Gemara says no. What? Okay, so that's not the reason. The Gemara says, really, the story is, when you go to the mikvah, you don't recite a bracha beforehand for a totally different reason. Rabbi Natam explains it as follows. Really, the story starts with a ger. When a person is converting, they have to recite a bracha al hatvila. So how are they going to recite a bracha before they go in the mikvah? They're not Jewish. How can you say, asher kedushanu mitzvosav etzivanu? So the real story started with a person who's being megayer. And they have to recite the bracha, obviously, once they come out of the mikvah, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense to make a bracha before. So it starts with a convert. And then, because they didn't want to confuse matters, so they said, you know what, anytime anybody goes to the mikvah, and we don't want to make a mistake between a ger and everybody else, anytime anyone performs the act of going into the mikvah, you have to recite the bracha only afterward. And for that matter, says the Gemara, netilas yadayim. We generally recite the bracha on netilas yadayim after we wash our hands. Why is that? Also, because the Gemara says sometimes a person is going to be coming out of the bathroom, and you can't recite a bracha before you wash your hands, but you're washing your hands for bread. So because we don't want to get confused, therefore always recite the bracha after you wash your hands. Same way by a mikvah, because sometimes you're going to have a ger who can't make the bracha before, so therefore everyone recites the bracha after. Okay, so that's basically the story. That's the only exception to the rule. Shabbos candles is a very different story, as we spoke about in the summer, for those who remember. And if you don't remember, we'll have it again maybe. But basically when it comes to Hallel, so what's the halacha? Hallel is the same as any other mitzvah. So before I light my Hanukkah candles, I make a bracha. Before I blow my shofar, I make a bracha. Well, before I recite Hallel, I also make a bracha. Well, Pesach night, you recite a bracha? No? What do? We say the whole Magid, then we say Lefichach Anachnu Chayavim, straight into Hallel. Why don't we recite a bracha? Isn't that a violation of the din of Kala Mitzvahs Kula Mevarach Aleihem over L'Asiyasan? So question number one is, how do you recite Hallel at night if the din is you're only allowed to say Hallel during the day? Question number two is, why is it that throughout the year we find that you always have to make a bracha before you perform a mitzvah? All of a sudden, when we come to Hallel on Leil HaSeder, we somehow forget about the bracha, and we don't recite it before performing the mitzvah of Hallel on Leil HaSeder. And question number three is, based on a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says in Tainus Daf Yutes, that there were times in history when they had a drought in the Jewish community. And it was a terrible time because nobody's plants were growing and nobody was able to make business because they used to buy and sell a lot of produce. And the Gemara says that they instituted a day of fast. So what happens? They instituted, let's say, this Monday and Thursday, we're all going to fast. Everyone should come to shul. We're going to say slichos. So what happens? They come to shul. All of a sudden, everyone's davening with kavana and the skies open up and it starts pouring. Sounds like a fairy tale, but that's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says, they got up, they made an announcement. Everybody go home and ichlu v'shasu. Everyone should go home and celebrate at their homes, have a whole meal, and we'll meet back here at 12 o'clock to say hallel. Says the Gemara, is that right? Why would he do that? God sends you a miracle, and it's such an obvious miracle. Everyone's davening, get up to Shema Koleinu, all of a sudden, the skies open up. Shouldn't you right away respond and react with a hallel? Wouldn't that make sense? Says the Gemara, no. God knows that Jews like to eat. And Jews are only happy when they eat. So, the best way to recite Hallel and know that people are going to recite it with a full heart is when it's al nefesh seveya v'keres melei. When everybody went home and celebrated with their families and already had something to eat and we'll meet back here at 12 o'clock. Trust me, you're going to be much happier to say the Hallel slowly at 12 o'clock than to zip through it now when everybody's hungry and hasn't eaten all day. That's what the Gemara says. And from here we learn that any time somebody recites Hallel, it should be Al Nefesh Seveya Vikaras Malaya. Now, it's not so relevant because we recite Hallel in the morning, you're not so hungry at 8:30 in the morning. It's not such a big deal. However, ask the Baal Hamor, Pesach night? I don't know about you, but in my house, I had nothing to eat on Pesach, Friday afternoon, Erev Pesach. When I got married, God bless my mother-in-law, she gives us what to eat on Erev Pesach. My mother, God bless her too, never allowed us to eat anything on Erev Pesach. I don't know, sort of violated the rules of Pesach when I got married. So, you know, because you can't have, it's a good thing, you can't have any real food, you can't have any fake food, you can't eat this, you can't have chametz, you can't have matzah. There's nothing to eat, and you know, nobody wants crumbs in the house, so you can't have cookies in the morning. You just can't eat anything. By the time the Seder comes around, you're not only tired, but you're starving. Now, what do? You go through Magid. And you go through Magid, and it takes a long time. And then, when we get to the end of Magid, when everyone's really at the brink of really being annoyed for being very hungry, oh, you know, 1 second, let's say Hallel first. 1 minute, we're not done yet. Doesn't that violate the principle that a person is only supposed to recite Hallel when they're al nefesh seveya v'keres malaya? I'm starving when I get to the night of the Seder. Why are you reciting Hallel before? So three questions. Number one, why is Hallel on the night of the Seder recited at night? That seems to break the rule. Number two, why do we not recite a bracha on Hallel on the night of the Seder, also breaking the rules? Number three, why is it that we don't recite Hallel after the meal on Leil HaSeder? Everybody's hungry. The Gemara tells us you should always recite Hallel when everyone's in a good mood. Night of the Seder, when we come to Hallel, I am not in a good mood. So why is it that we recite Hallel on the night of the Seder? And the answer to all of that is the following. The Ran writes in Maseches Pesachim in the name of Rav Haigon, this is number Zion, She'ein anu korin oso b'toris korin, ela b'toris omer shira. When we come to Hallel on the night of the Seder, so we have an obligation every day, Kriyas Shema. We have to recite the words of Kriyas Shema every day. We have to recite the words of Shemona Esrei every day. We have to recite the words of Birchas HaShachar every single day. That's Achiyuv Kriya. You have to say X every day. That's your obligation. On the night of the Seder, there's no obligation, there's no textbook that says, well, on the night of the Seder, you also have to say Hallel the same way you're going to say Magid. No. On the night of the Seder, it's B'Torah Shira, which means it's spontaneous. We have just re-experienced, reenacted our Yetzias Mitzrayim. We are so thankful for the miracles that took place to our earlier ancestors so many years ago. Therefore, we spontaneously break out in song. So imagine, you know, I remember in YU, they once made an announcement, now we're going to have spontaneous dancing. Right? So Rabbi Reese, I remember, made that announcement. I forgot what it was. It was like ridiculous. What does that mean? Now we're going to have spontaneous dancing, then it's not spontaneous. So that's the same thing. You look in your Haggadah and it says, well, 1 second, now we're going to recite a bracha because we're so excited and we're going to spontaneously break out in song. Let's recite a bracha because we have to say Hallel. Does that make sense? That's not really so spontaneous. This is the reason why we don't recite a bracha on the night of the Seder. Because we're supposed to show like it just came out of nowhere. We're so excited about the experience that we're having, we're going to break out in song without a bracha. We don't have time for a bracha. It's not like this is pre-planned. We're going to do it now because we're so happy about the experience that we're having. This is also the reason why it can be recited at night. Again, I feel so thankful about the fact that I was saved and this miracle happened to me at night. I'm not going to wait till the morning to thank God for it. I'm going to say it right now. I'm hungry, and generally the halacha is you're supposed to recite Hallel when you have a full stomach. The answer is, I can't wait to say this Hallel. I am so excited about the Yeshua that just took place, about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about everything we spoke about the whole night. Therefore, I'm going to react and respond with a Hallel right now in the middle of the night without a bracha, even though I'm hungry. There's also a discussion which is interesting. The Magen Avraham writes, let's say I don't understand the words of a certain bracha that I'm reciting. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaro. I have no idea what those words mean. I just started to learn Hebrew. I really have no idea what the words mean. However, before I eat something, drink something, I have to make a bracha. So the Magen Avraham says, no, as long as you said the words in Hebrew, even if you don't understand them, it's good enough. It's okay, even if you don't understand the words. However, some argue that even though that's the case, let's say I don't understand all the words of Hallel, and on Yom Tov I have to recite the Hallel. So the Magen Avraham argues, even if you don't understand the words, it's good enough. Some argue on Leil HaSeder, if you don't understand the words of Hallel, you are not fulfilling your obligation of Hallel. Why? Because on Leil HaSeder, it's not like there's a textbook that says, this is what you have to say. On Leil HaSeder, the Hallel is supposed to be coming mitoch shira. It's supposed to be coming from a feeling that you have of so much love, so much enjoyment, so much happiness. That's the feeling, that's the expression that we're supposed to be giving off on the night of the Seder. And therefore, perhaps Leil HaSeder, the Hallel, is going to be totally different than the Hallel that we find throughout the year. Let's just review. And Amir Tzashem will continue next week. I see it's already 10:30. So let's just review what we said. Again, we began with saying that Hallel on a regular Yom Tif, we assume, is either Midaraisa or Midarabanan, a big machlokas harishonim. However, it's clear that the criterion for a regular Yom Tif are either that it's Asr Basiyas Malacha or, not either or, it's both. It's number one, Asr Basiyas Malacha, and it's Ikri Moed. Therefore, on Shabbos, since it's not, even though it's Asr Basiyas Malacha, but it's not Ikri Moed, Shabbos we don't recite Hallel. Chalamoed, which is Ikri Moed, but it's not Asr Basiyas Malacha, we don't really recite Hallel. We only say a Chatzi Hallel. So that's the criterion Midaraisa. Midrabanan they added on a couple of extra days. However, Rosh Chodesh seems to be even lower than a Din Derabanan. Rosh Chodesh seems to be only a Minhag, which got us into the discussion that even if you recite a bracha on every mitzvah Midrabanan, which we all do, when it comes to a Minhag, there's a big machlokas. Can we really say with a straight face, Vitzi Banu? He really commanded us? Even the Chachamim didn't command us. It's just a Minhag. This is just what we do. It's a practice, but it's not an institution that they instituted that everybody has to do this, and therefore we assume there's a big machlokas in the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rambam, whether or not one will have to recite a bracha on a minhag or not. That's a very important discussion, and we know that it's a machlokas, the Mechaber and the Ramah, which is a machlokas, Svardim, and Ashkenazim. What should be done when it comes to a minhag on Halal or Rosh Chodesh? Should a bracha be recited or not? Then we discussed about the last point, whether or not, if we assume that Halal has to be said during the day, why is it that we find that there's one time during the year that we break the rule? Not only is Halal said during the nighttime on Pesach night, but Halal is also recited without a bracha on Pesach night. Halal is also recited when we're very hungry on Pesach night. Why is it that Halal Pesach night totally breaks the rules of every other recitation of Halal throughout the year? The reason why is because Halal on Pesach night is a very different nature of Halal than we have throughout the year. Halal throughout the year is the same obligation that we have to say Kriya Shema, to daven Shacharis. So we have an obligation also to say Halal. Halal on Pesach night is an obligation, mitoras shira. It's because we're supposed to feel so happy, so excited about the miracle that we experience. Therefore, we respond, we react with a spontaneous Halal in order to celebrate that Yeshua that we had on Pesach night.